SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Tampa Bay Downs, Oldsmar, Florida, on an absolutely glorious day. Good morning. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. Shifting tack here for the last 3 days of this three-week trip. And perfect timing. They're going to draw that Saturday card here at Tampa. And I expect Marty McGee at some point this morning. Marty will be standing by to keep tabs on the draw. And, you know, the Sam Davis part, I think we got a pretty good handle on it. The race that I imagine people got to start to get excited about is the Suncoast. You know, and historically, I don't have it in front of me. This is something we can discuss, you know, certainly with Marty and Jason Beam. What did he tell me? I think he's stopping by. It's a race day today, obviously. No race tomorrow and then Friday. But either way, Jason always comes by while we're here. And I think we're going to Christino's tomorrow. Yeah. last time when I was here, it was last year, right? Couldn't get in. Just couldn't. It was hopeless. So I hope this, you know, Sam Davis week a little less frenetic and busy. And it's such a different atmosphere when you come over to this coast, over to the Gulf Coast. The pace is just different, and it just has a whole different vibe. It's pretty amazing, actually. And there's so many different parts of Florida on that front. Actually, as you go up the Gulf Coast, you know, up towards St. Augustine, and then, you know, we'll be back in March as well for OBS. Spend the week at OBS ahead of the Florida Derby. And Ocala is just exploding. So it is nice to come over here. Not so easy to make your way from Alligator Alley. Alligator Alley's fine. Then you start to head north. Oof. From Sarasota to Tampa, be prepared. It is a slog. Traffic was horrific. Just crawled from Sarasota up. So happy to be here, and Sid's going to come by. We'll have some live Sid Fernando, second year in a row of that. I've seen, it's funny, Sid lived in Brooklyn for his whole life, and then as soon as he moved down here, I mean, when he was in Brooklyn, I might be lucky to see him at Belmont. One day leading up to Belmont Stakes. One time I saw him on the other side of the path and didn't even really get to really see him. And now he's in Florida. I see him all the time now. It's pretty funny. I haven't said anything or asked him, but I'm sure he's coming up to OBS as well to the sale for a few days too. So speaking of sales, I can kind of wade into some action. There's no real set fast agenda. I will get to we'll get Dick Powell in here shortly, and Sid, as mentioned, Seth later. I'm sure he'll take a look at this some of the action here. Racing ratchets up on the Wednesday with Gulfstream and Tampa, so I'm sure we'll handicap a little something. And what else? Darren Rogers. Darren Rogers going to swing through about midway this morning and haven't had a chance to really check in with Big D. But a couple of notable stories yesterday out of the Churchill press office that included the Triple Crown noms, the early noms, the $600 noms, 369 horses. And we'll take a look at that. And that number was up. And Kentucky Derby future wager, pool number 4. And some interesting developments there. And now you get to this point, it starts to get a little more interesting. I mean, some of the early, some of the early numbers, and it's kind of a mystery, and you're lucky if you even get a lot of cases. Remember years ago, John and JJ would take an over under bet on even how many horses in the early future wager, how many would even make the Derby gate. You know, back when there were when there were 23 individual entrants, and John and JJ would, I think the over under at that time, I think they used to make it at about 4 out of the 20. I mean, there's a lot of attrition, obviously, and in fact some yesterday, which we'll get to, especially in the wake of the visit from Jason Blewett the other morning. Unfortunately, the West Point signator, he's sidelined. So, yeah, he's getting 60 days off. He, of course, came up a couple times over the last, 10 days. So we'll visit with Darren as well this morning. And I'll tell you, the one, there's several challenges when it comes to being on the road like this. One of them is keeping the paper quantity under control. Not so easy. We'll start to look forward, obviously, to the weekend, and in addition to what's going on here, you got the Dixie Belle at Oaklawn. In fact, Oaklawn's all drawn. They're all ready to go. Actually, tomorrow we'll have Vic Stafford join us, and we're going to combine, actually, kind of a hybrid pair of topics and visits. Thoroughgraph, which it's funny this week. We had I saved it because I was on the air and I didn't finish. I was having trouble yesterday at Gulfstream. Their Wi-Fi was spotty, the public Wi-Fi. And so I saved it. I didn't go back to it, so I'll get that out. But, I had that little conversation about the sire stat and how that gave du jour a look to potentially be, part of that Thunder Road result, and ended up being a good opportunity. Well, we're going to do a Thoroughgraph conversation weekly and pick out, parts of the data and flesh it out, essentially, and help people that are either new to it or don't necessarily utilize. I mean, there's a lot of people that just go to the figs, focus on the figs, and don't necessarily utilize the indexes and some of the other really outstanding data that's available. So we're going to combine the Oaklawn visit with a Thoroughgraph conversation. And the timing's good for Thursdays because, of course, we're winding down with a season-ending football game on Sunday. I'm just holding steady and placid, getting a few texts here from either, in some cases, mutual fans or people that will become fans on Sunday based on their wagering decisions. We'll talk extensively, obviously, with Dave Hill tomorrow, and we'll get Dave's final thoughts as well as flesh out those props and some very, that I hope you're following that unabated I've retweeted a few things, and of course Dave discussed it all through the season. But you know, if you're taking your sports betting seriously, this Rufus Peabody, the information is fascinating and leading, kind of on the leading edge, from what I can tell. I mean, I'm not, I've never been a big sports bettor. I've certainly bet my share here, you know, here in spots. It's funny. It's one of those things. Typically, something that I over the years, if I got sort of a feeling for a certain team or a certain, you know, a certain set of circumstances, and I would bet like in a flourish. There was a year that, in fact, regarding Colgate in basketball, there was a year where kind of got really involved in the Patriot League and the Atlantic 10, the old Atlantic. This goes back quite a few years, and it just seemed like it was, you know, there were opportunities regularly where lines were out of whack, where some of those mid-major type programs were just not getting, you know, the numbers were, if you had your finger on the pulse. And my buddy Rick Dolewski, he had a friend in Vegas, and we started playing through him. And at one point we had run literally a 16 or 17 bet streak. And Rick's pal started betting along with us because he saw that we were tearing it up. So anyway, tomorrow, Dave Hill, and I'm sure that Scully and Schapp on Friday, I'm sure they'll have plenty to impart as well and get their plays, and everybody else that comes through. We'll see here. I'll save. I've got the future wager stuff. I'll save that for Darren. Be great to catch up with D, and get to the attack. That's funny because this morning I ended up staying. I'm not staying out by Port Richey or Tarpon after these long morning drives from Pompano to Gulfstream. And they're not terrible. They were 40. You know, it was 40, 45 minutes. But I said I want to stay a little closer. I found a place. I'm at a Candlewood. In Safety Harbor, which I didn't know existed, which is literally right across the harbor from Oldsmar. I don't know, 5 miles from the track. It took me 10 minutes. I'm thrilled. So anyway, staying at the Candlewood made me realize I've got to make Derby reservations. You get to February. In fact, usually I do it in January. So the time is now. Make it happen. We also, of course, have the Withers getting drawn now again. It looks like an extra horse, maybe more extra horses will pop in as well. So we'll see. And the other stakes here, too, the Minaret and the Pelican. And it's quiet. I mentioned at Santa Anita with the Sweet Life. And they should probably release, I guess they will probably release the across the Coast to Coast today. The El Camino Real Derby, too, don't forget, at Golden Gate Saturday. And then a big weekend next week, really big, between Laurel and Fairgrounds, and Houston's got their Texas. You know, one thing I did not mention Monday, I realized that it slipped through the cracks. No sooner than did we have the conversation with Nick that we get the news came literally hours later that Texas reconsidered what they were going to do in terms of allowing the signal to be distributed. So all the excitement that bubbled to the surface was for naught, as it turns out. So they're back to waiting and watching. There is a story I'll get to as well on the HISA front. So there'll be a nice, the Texas bread card, and unless there's some movement between now and next week, it'll be unavailable as well. So let me get Dick Powell in here, because we're probably missing the opportunity to get the late pair. It's always first day. You know, you make the transition, and it's always a little on the on the hectic side. I also don't know what time, I don't know when Marty's coming or when we're going to see Sid. If Sid comes late, we can go to lunch later, maybe. So we'll get some HKJC. I also wanted to fit in this. Mark Cassie had a couple of wins. And interestingly, a couple of far-flung places. Turfway, the Forgo on Saturday and Saturday night. That was with the Candy Overload. This is the Len Schlieffer, Adam Wachtel, Gary Barber, Reload, Ontario Bred, the five-year-old gelding, and 1440 winning the Forgo. And I told the I explained the story. I explained the story as why there's a Forgo at Turfway. But he also Cassie and Gary also won at Delta. And I got to get the Delta, premier night. I've got to get that set of results in too. They had the Gormley Braun and Bro win the sprint at the Delta. Dick Powell is joining us. Dick, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Very quickly, I like the 3 here in race 8. Nervous Witness. He's running in the colors of the great Silent Witness. David Hayes, Hugh Bowman, hard combination at Hong Kong. And he's getting dismissed at about 7-1. So if you want to jump in there late as the red light goes off, number 3 is Nervous Witness.
I had the page up, but I didn't have the video. That's 9:15. Let's pull it up. Nervous Witness wearing the 3, leaving from the 7. And 8-5 on the Frankie Lohr, Sylvester D'Souza, 7-year-old gelding, favored 8-5. Then it actually, there's a 9-2 astrologer, 9-2 second choice, and then the year 7-1. That's a nice number on Nervous Witness, who was 5-1 morning line. 5-1-2 on Campione.
What is Family Folks? Because I played the 3, 5-9 over 3, so the 9 was also single digit, I think.
8-1.
Yeah.
8-1.
Yep.
And there was one, I think I just saw one other, was there one other single digit, 3, 4? Yeah, those are the principles. And what's gone on tonight?
Hugh Bowman with a pair. And Turf seems to be rather quick. They're running faster than standard in most of the races.
I see my man, Lyle Houston, with a 1380 winner in the 5th.
Oh, yeah, with Doug White.
Here we go. Hold on. Stand by for a start.
Tedded getting up towards the inside, set for a start. They're racing and rewarding together. The favorite was about the last to leave. They're going forward with Kirpany, but Campione's got the early legs to lead. Nervous Witness handy, as too is Harmony and Rich and Kirpany, 4 deep into the first turn. Handsome Bobo behind them, followed by Family Folks. Computer Patch very wide from Pinghai Galaxy, and then came Keep You Warm back on the inside. Astrologer a length and a half away back, third last with Rewarding Together, and last of all is Grateful Heart. Nervous Witness is the leader over Kirpany. Margin 3/4. Harmony and Rich is keeping Kirpany out 3 deep. Campione back on the fence. Just got shuffled up there. And then came Handsome Bobo. Family Folks further back in the field with Pinghai Galaxy, Computer Patch, Astrologer. Then came Keep You Warm, followed by Rewarding Together. And last of all, Grateful Heart. Nervous Witness leads over Harmony and Rich. Kirpany is gone. Then came Campione. Pinghai Galaxy over on the inside. Astrologer is starting to surge through late. He's gone straight past Nervous Witness and Rewarding Together with Grateful Heart are roaring home, but it's all over. Astrologer Astrologer Too Good from second, Grateful Heart. Then came Rewarding Together, Nervous Witness, and they were followed in by Along the Inside, Pinghai Galaxy, Handsome Bobo, Family Folks, Campione. Next in was Keep You Warm, followed by Harmony and Rich Kirpany. Went forward, got caught wide. He finished well back with Computer Patch last.
Well, you know, Dick, that was, I like the way, I really like the way Hugh Bowman rode that when he tried to power away near the end of the turn. I like that. That's a Luis Saez move, you know, to basically make everybody kind of panic, and he just got a little late.
Yeah, the first quarter, 23.03 is as fast as you will see. Now, watching the race, I didn't think he was pushing him that hard. I thought he was doing it within himself. So I had some hopes turning for home to hang on. But they were running uphill at the end for me. And the five got left, and he wound up third. He, Rewarding Together, ran a gigantic race as the favorite for Sylvester D'Souza. And number 12, Astrologer, the lightweight in the field, 115 pounds. This was a strange race, Steve. The bottom was 85. The top was 110. So this was a interesting handicap, class one. So 12 gets in at the bottom, and he took advantage of all that weight because he got 20 full pounds from the highway Computer Patch, and he put him to good use on the Astrologer. Nice win for Alexi Bedell and Pierre Ng. And that's a guy who's won a lot of races, Pierre Ng. So he's done very well as a trainer, and maybe next time for Nervous Witness, but he was smoking out there on the lead.
Yeah, you could tell that early lick was frenetic. I was gonna say to you that it looked like they were all hustling out of the gate. All right, well, certainly a game effort. You know, he took money too late. Nervous Witness. He ended up down to 5-1.
Oh, okay. Well, Bowman's been hot, and Bowman looks like he's going to be the answer to the question. You know, assuming Zach Purton leaves, who's going to take Zach Purton's place? And the answer might already be there.
Hmm. Well,
because I think he'll just pick up rides in bunches.
Hey, well, what is the immigration status, but there's limit, right? They can't just come in and out of there pell mell.
Right. Yeah, there's only so many licenses that are available for the riders. So there's about 20, 21. And as riders leave, licenses open up, the club can be pretty aggressive in recruiting trainers. The trainers is really tough because you have to win a significant amount of races every year. When you look at handicap racing, Steve, why wouldn't I want to finish third and fourth every night? I mean, I don't pick up any weight. I run for decent money. Well, I'm not going to be around very long because I'm not winning races. You have to win. The trainers have to win somewhere around 16 races per meet. So the big story over the weekend, which I'll obviously get to, is Manfred Mann won the Centenary Sprint Group 1. It was his 23rd win of the year. So he's having a terrific year. And before the race, the club announced that he was being extended another year. So he's 65 years old. They have some mandatory retirement ages. And but they're giving him another year. And based on really having a terrific season this year, and but it's handicap racing, but you can't play that game that you'll see in other countries where, you know, everyone tries to dirty up their form and drop in weight, and then finally get the right circumstances and pop at a big price. That doesn't work here because you're just not gonna be around. So it's very competitive, and it's also interesting. We haven't really talked about this, but you kind of see it intuitively when you watch the races. Nobody wants to win by five lengths. Now, us growing up in the game when there was a lot of handicap races and real handicaps, you know, handicaps with a wide spread in weights, you know, jocks didn't want to win by big margins. Didn't help, just picking up more weight. So some of the cagier riders were good enough to win and win by a fairly small margin. They could cut it close and still win and then not pick up the ton of weight that they would pick up if they won by a wide margin. So you see it in Hong Kong. You see Zach time that move. But part of it, timing that move, is to make sure he doesn't go off and win by too far and pick up, you know, 9 pounds instead of 5 pounds off the win. So it's just another element of handicap racing, which brings, you know, a good size field together with a 20-pound weight spread.
Well, and the it's funny because this came up a little bit for those that were listening to yesterday to the end of the show with Papo, and I brought up because they're working on Form DeWin's working on the harness side, and I made the parallel essentially to you know, the regularity with which the horses at Sha Tin and Happy Valley run, and you know, when you've got that system, and you and I have discussed this actually, and I did this with Paul Matisse too, you know, almost a throwback to Greyhound, you know, the movement up and down the scale, and you know, there's one of the reasons that this signal is so popular and serious players latch on once they get involved and once they, you know, get a feel for it. I mean, look at what happened with Tommy Hammer, you know, winning $1 million multi. Once you get involved and you know, you see it's a throwback in terms of, you know, the regularity with which they run and, you know, the conditions that you and the weight scale and everything that you lay out week to week. And there's continuity. I mean, I think one of the biggest frustrations, Dick, with our game, our modern game, you know, in North America, is the infrequency of you know, horses, the top horses that we get to see. And you know, basically coming in and out of form, and it you know, a lot of it feels you know, especially with this Lasix uncertainties, there's a lot to be said for, you know, having, you know, that constant, right? That regularity.
Yeah, the frequency is there probably every 3 weeks. And the way I used to describe it, and even this isn't true anymore, America produces half the horses it used to produce, and they run half as much as they used to run, which means we're getting 25% of the production out of what we used to have. And that's obviously not sustainable, you know, all the fill in the blanks. So we're in that position. I don't see any change. We, you know, the sad thing nowadays is, let's say we're in between major stake races, you know, 3 weeks out. Well, the big news is, ooh, did you see so-and-so work out? And you got the video of the workout.
Yep.
And you sit there and watch it. It's like, wow, man, that was great. But back in the good old days, whatever you want to call it, those horses might have been on the track. They might have been racing. They just didn't train the way they train now. They used to race instead of train.
Well,
Now we train instead of race.
Well, that gets, and that it's funny, and I'm sure we'll have, I heard from Pat Kelly yesterday, and Andy and I touched on Pat retiring, and Pat, a perfect example of a horseman that suffered in this era, essentially, because that was his approach, and that was what he learned from his father. I mean, the idea of running a horse into shape, it has become foreign, because any time you're running and you aren't, you don't have a good chance of winning, you're damaging your win percentage, which, of course, we've discussed this for years. No one ever gave a crap about win percentage. Everybody's win percentage was 10 to 12 to 15 to 17. And it was an absolute non-concern. And then whatever tripped that, that dynamic, Dick, and maybe you can identify at what point, needing to win at 20%, 22%, 24%, basically keeping horses in the barn and only running them, when they were likely winners, because you don't want to put a dent in your win percentage.
Yeah, you'd have to go back to when it got published, that it was part of past performance data and things like that. That seems to be when it became an issue. And Pat's a good example, because I remember seeing a sheet for evening attire. And he just ran and ran and ran and ran.
Yeah.
And ran every year. Not only ran all year, but he ran every year. And if I'm not mistaken, obviously Pat would know this, Andy probably would. I think evening attire is the only horse to win a graded stake on the Aqueduct Inner, the Aqueduct Main, the Belmont Dirt, and the Saratoga Dirt.
Wow. And that, of course, won't be duplicated.
No. I think I'm right. And it was evening attire, but it was just a function of here's Pat and all these races, and it's just and they were and he was competitive, it's not like he was just in these races to be in these races. He had competitive horses, and like everybody else in the industry, the owners decided, no, that's not the flavor of the month. We got to go elsewhere.
Well, it's problematic, because you also get into, and this is another topic we haven't discussed it recently much, but doing favors for the racing office, which used to be a matter of course, and somebody from the racing office calls and says, we got five, or we got six, we'd like, so and so is eligible, is he ready? Well, yeah, maybe. And you think, you think to yourself, well, a race is worth five workouts, right? You run, and that puts a dent in your training stat fender. The industry, to some extent, did this to itself too, because it sort of showcased people that were winning at a high percentage, or it especially given new people coming into the game, that, where did this just come up the other day? Who was it that was, maybe it was with Shug, I think it might have been, and the home breeders, the sportsman types that are just they're dwindling, And, you know, now we do have some big operations that are quasi-commercial and home breeders. Barbara Banky, Stone Street, probably the most interesting example of that, you know, vis-a-vis a Live Oak, a Charlotte Weber, who, of course, you know, was with the Kellys for many years. We more or less directed new people toward that came in, and whether this was, I doubt it was anything, you know, conscious effort to direct newcomers, you know, to high percentage, you know, to whether it's consultants or stable agents, you know, saying, well, you know, you don't want to go to him. He only wins at 11%. What? The horsemanship means more, and also, you know, different barns have different attributes. But, you know, we kind of painted ourselves into this corner, and it put some operations in the crosshairs, Dick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we talk safety, and yet we try to train horses for certain days, and yet the chance of that horse running on that day is oftentimes very slim. So you have a race in the book, you train for that race, it doesn't go, or the race office doesn't use the race and go somewhere else. And therefore, you're kind of backing off. I got to keep them percolating in the meantime, but you're not bringing them to a boil like you were gonna on that one day. Get them fit and ready and perfect, and that's not good for horses. And yet we do that all the time. And then obviously, there are the top trainers don't have to worry about that. Top trainers get all the favors made for them. And those races do go for them, so they don't have to deal with the things that everyone else has to deal with.
Well, but at the same time, you know, for those that listen to Todd, had really a fun half hour with Todd yesterday, and got chapter and verse. Did a Saratoga special style barn tour. I thought that was very interesting what happened with Tappet Trice, and Chester Skin. Because he didn't sound like he was regretting not running Tappet Trice in the Holy Bull, but it sure feels like he wins that race should he participate. And and Todd said if that allowance didn't go, and as it happens, he didn't want it to be a mile. He was hoping they would go a mile and a 16. So anyway, the interesting scenario there is that here was Tappet Trice that, you know, he would have preferred something, you know, an experience and a teaching race. Turns in a tremendous second start and probably wins the Holy Bull should he participate there. And that makes that a 9-horse field. And, you know, there's little lessons here, but even, you know, that even happened to a Todd Pletcher.
Yeah. Just not as often as it happens.
Yes, as it happens to somebody with 19 horses or 22 horses.
Yeah. Yes.
How far are we, Dick? What do we got here on this? Let me get to the nightcap. You got 10 minutes.
11 minutes, yeah. No, we're good.
Do you want to do last week first? Okay.
Well, I mentioned Man for Man winning the Centenary Sprint Cup. Lucky Swainess has become probably the top sprinter in Hong Kong. Now, Wellington has had that mantle for about a year or two, but he's now beaten him twice. He really beat him on the fair and square the other day because it was an 8-horse field. Lucky Swainess broke from post 8. Zach got him out hard early, but kind of stalked on the outside. And Wellington was behind them, so he was getting a nice trip behind Lucky Swainess. But when Zach opened up in the stretch, Wellington could not reduced the gap. So he won by a length and a half. It was a group one where they all carried 126, so there were no weight advantages in this race. And I think that kind of shows that Lucky Swain is the better sprinter. He's only 4 years old. In fact, he's eligible for these 4-year-old season, but they're going to keep him sprinting. He covered the 6 furlongs in 108.12, one of the fastest times of the season. Very fast on that night also. So Lucky Swainus, I think, is now the top sprinter. Wellington still firing bullets at the age of 7. Sight success. We saw him win that 1,000-meter straight by a nose. Very game effort. It was a good field. It was only 8 in a race, but they were good, solid, hard knockers. So that was Zach Burton and Man for Man. And then earlier in the night, it was a Group 3 to Centenary Vaz at a mile and an 8. Senior Toba won this one pretty handily for you, Bowman and Casper Founds. He is on his way to Qatar. And the funny story was he was supposed to have Joe Marrera ride him, and Joe got mixed up with Qatar and Bahrain. He's not going to ride him. He made a commitment to somewhere else. So I know Founds is getting a top rider. I can't remember which one it is, which is that's kind of interesting. Even the all time greats make mistakes.
No doubt.
Those two stakes wins were very, very solid. Just strong. Coming up February 26th is the Hong Kong Classic Cup, the second leg of the Hong Kong 4-year-old series. This is at a mile and an 8. And then we also have the Hong Kong Gold Cup for older horses. And that is a Group 1 stake on the same night. So those two stake races will be on February 26th. The schedule is pretty normal for the next few weeks. The Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sha Tin. Wednesday morning, Happy Valley for the next 2-3 weeks.
Excellent. All right, let's look at what lies ahead. 6 minutes to post for this ninth.
This is a class 3, and it's rated 60 to 85. Usually this would be rated 60 to 80. So there are 3 horses that get in because of the raising the ceiling to 85, and that's number 1, Garitas, who's rated 84. Number 2, Viva Chaillure, rated 84. And Counted, the big favorite, who's rated at 81. So the advantage Encounter gets today is he gets to run against class 3 horses with a couple of exceptions instead of moving up to a class 2, you know, where he'd be running against 12 hard knockers. So that kind of fits to his favor. My computer just timed out, Steve. What's Encounter still the favorite?
8 to 5. 7 to 2 for All Beauty.
Yes, I got it back now. I only like 2 horses in this race. I liked Encounter, obviously, and I like number 10, Majestic Victory, who is like
9 to 1.
9 to 1.
Yep.
He's in white with Angus Chung. Tony Cruz is the trainer, and Angus Chung is kind of attached to the Tony Cruz stable as an apprentice rider. Didn't run bad last time out. Time before that, he drew post 11, so only beating a length and 3/4 from post 11, that's real good. Last time out, got bumped around at the start. rushed up, weakened late. Today we drew a post six. We're going two turns. So I think he has the pace to get up in the top three early, and then it's a matter of putting him to sleep. These two-turn races, you always get some crazy move from the back of the pack. You know, someone goes up on the outside like the Hervé Fillion and decides to make a last-to-first move. But I think Majestic Victory can just cruise along. And getting in with 106 pounds, he gets the full 10-pound apprentice allowance waived to him. I think Majestic Victory could be tough. So how do I bet this race? Well, I'm going to bet the race upside down. I'm going to bet Majestic Victory to win.
Sure.
And then I'm going to protect him with the three in the exacta.
Well, and that, you know, that I love that. And that's the way to basically play off of, you know, mid-priced long shots. And I do the same exact thing. Bet them to win and you know, key them underneath, you know, the logicals. And depending on style, quite often, Dick, I'll do the Kenny Kirchner reverse tri key and put that horse third under three or four players to be first and second. I and that's the right price too. $20 horses. That's the sweet spot.
Well, I hear friends and everybody that they had this and they had that, and I'm like, did you play it to win? No. That's like,
yeah.
What's wrong with a $20 exacta? You know?
Yeah.
Let alone a $20 winner. So 10-1 is fine with me.
Well,
I'll take it,
you know, we don't the doubles aren't a big topic here, but at my website at Derby Trail, during the prime period when guys would assemble, and they still do to some extent for this, you know, for big days, big Saturdays in particular. But what you just said, $20 exacta, but doubles, you know, basically 2x1 or 3x1 or 2x2 sometimes, but basically, you know, drilling down. I mean, this has been a lesson that has gotten a lot of attention, you know, with the proliferation of multi-race wagering. But as opposed to, you know, 50-cent denomination with wide spreads, you know, that were the initial foray into the big multis, it feels like the pendulum has kind of swung back from the shotgun approach to the rifle approach. And, you know, basically it's the same investment, in some cases might even be over a three or four race or even five race scheme. It might be even less of an investment. You know, depends on the size of your budget for big multis. But there's a lot to be said about that, especially if you're keying off of a nice price. Because, you know, a $50, $60, $70 double, let's say, or exacta in this case, 10 times? And the degree of difficulty, what if, you know, I don't know, I'm not Andy Serling's the best for the statistical analysis, but, you know, what is the degree of difficulty reduction in hitting two races or hitting a two-part exotic versus a three, four, or five-part exotic?
Well, maybe someday we'll have the triple trio to bet in America.
The triple trio, the twin, what are the twin try? We had twin try, right?
I know.
That's
yes. The
great. That speaking of greyhounds, the twin try. All right, what do we got? Are we post time? I don't have the video.
Yeah, they were adjusting someone's saddle, so not sure where we are, but
well, you know, it's funny, I just pulled up the vid, and who is the, let's see, who, which analyst are they showing? I'm gonna lose it. Oh, Jenny's pick, she's 10-3 too, Dick.
Oh, good.
She's good, she does a good job.
Well, what I like with her is she looks at specific things. And that's basically it. And obviously she has a finite number of horses to look at. So she's not getting, you know, very rarely getting shippers and things like that. The horses race frequently, so she gets to see them often. So her notes have value and things like that. But you gotta listen to her. You don't have to follow her. But you better pay attention when she's talking, because she really knows this stuff and knows these horses.
Right.
And one thing I'd like to ask her or any of the people that do this, does it matter the surface that they're walking on? In other words, these horses are walking on like rubberized asphalt. And yet some tracks, you know, it's stone dust. Some tracks, it might be, you know, something different. Pavers, things like that.
Right.
And obviously horses' strides are different depending on how they're feeling with their weight underneath them. And a horse walking on one surface versus another. Now, she's seeing the same thing all the time, so she's not seeing any variances. But if you're doing New York and you're doing all three tracks, be interesting to ask Maggie, you know, what is the difference between watching horses and walking, you know, Aqueduct is obviously different than Saratoga does, the surface that they're on.
That's an interesting, that's a really interesting point. And when it comes to, in fact, Sid Fernando just coming in and joining us, when we watch horses walk as well, for, you know, the vet evaluation, and they jog them on the pavement for, and there's a specific reason they do it. And the same thing when at sales, when prospective buyers watch horses, you know, up and down, going, you know, to and from. So that's I'll get a series of that question in, Dick, to people. Here we go. We're just about set, and got about, what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them still behind the gate. We're going a mile, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And price-wise, 7-5 on Encountered, 7-1 on Majestic Victory. Yeah. So this is an attractive.
Tough money.
Yeah, this is an attractive scenario. You get the let's get the audio come up here. And just about set. All right, the nightcap.
HKJC.com.
Happy Valley.
Sight Spirit coming up to complete the line to around at the program. 1,650 meters. They stand well for starter Tony Speechley, who pushes the button, and they're racing in the last to a good dispatch. And going back in the early stages is Total Power with Geritis and also Viva Chaleur. Super Baby being ridden up out deeper. Satirical Glory handy, but is keen on the outside of the favorite Encountered, who's going to slot down on the rail and be up on the pace when he eventually does cross. Rising from Ashes over on the inside. Now, Satirical Glory got a little bit of a check there into that first turn. Majestic Victory's also handy now. And Exceptional Nice up on the outside. So through the 1,200, 27.5 for the lead section. Back behind Exceptional Nice. A Silver Hammer on the rail. All Beauty between runners. Sight Spirit is deeper on the track. Then came Geritis, Total Power, and Viva Chaleur last of all. Into the back, and the leader is Super Baby, 27.5 for that lead section. So they went relatively quick. Pace is only moderate now. Encountered is running second. Satirical Glory, 2 lengths away, third as they top the rise. Rising from Ashes, fourth on the fence. Exceptional Nice came next from Majestic Victory, midfield one off from Silver Hammer. Next is Sight Spirit, followed by All Beauty, and then came Total Power, Geritis, and Viva Chaleur. He is back last of all. 500 meters left to go. Dylan Moe with Super Baby in front. Over the favourite Encountered, stalking them, rising from ashes. Satirical Glory called upon now at the 300 metres. Silverhammer back on the inside. Majestic Victory into the clear. And then came All Beauty, Exceptional Nice further out. Encountered has made the lead at the 150. Staying on Satirical Glory and right down the outside. Geritis, Majestic Victory through with Silverhammer. Geritis after Encountered to the post. Geritis first up. That's been a trading performance from Danny Shum. Geritis has beaten in second Encountered, who just got run down over the final stages. Majestic Victory, Silverhammer, Rising from Ashes, Exceptional Nights, and Viva Chaleur between runners. Then came Total Power.
Well, what else came is immaterial because, boy, Dick, this was setting up beautifully. And, you know, from basically mid-pack or maybe even further, I didn't even see where Goritas was. 31-1 under Jerry Chow.
He's carrying 135 pounds. He was one of the ones who got into the race because of changing the range. It didn't look like he had that big a shot, especially with that kind of weight, man. And he just flew down the middle. The 3 had surged to the lead. The 10 was not in traffic, but was always in between horses, and he was starting to get rolling. Looked like he might get second, so
got third.
Maybe get the exacta, and then there comes the 1
over the top. This is a 5-year-old gelding, a Footsteps in the Sand.
Irish bred.
Yeah. Wow. $65 horse to wrap things up on what had been a rather sedate night in the valley where it's happy.
Well, he has back class. I just didn't think he would show it in this circumstance, that carrying that kind of weight. The last time he won, he carried 127. He's been carrying 118, 121. You know, just to pick up that kind of weight and run that kind of race. Wow. That's impressive.
He was co-highweight.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, he was. He was given.
That's why he was 31-20.
Amazing. Weight can stop a train, but not in this case. Encountered was, in fact, he was even given 2 pounds to Encountered. Unbelievable. This will be a bonanza. So anybody that latched on, well done. Dick, just a couple of minutes. Sid's here if you want to say good morning to Sid.
Hey, Sid, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Dick. How you doing?
I love this last race. Just an ordinary handicap race with 12 horses. The win and place pool were $10 million.
Wow. That's something.
They do virtually $20 million per race. And it doesn't have to be stake races. It doesn't have to be those type races. It just has to be good, competitive handicap races where, you know, the low weight, we saw the last race, the low weight win. And now in this race, we see the high weight win.
Well, yeah, this is one of the reasons we dig in and spend a half hour, do a segment weekly. It's fascinating and it's an opportunity. And Dick, I appreciate it. Any other news and notes for you from the week?
I can't think of any.
All right.
I will as soon as we get off the air. But
Well,
enjoy the sunshine and
big time.
You missed some cold event up here the other night.
Tina told me something about that.
Yeah.
HKJC _ racing, everybody. Dick, thank you.
Okay. I'll see you next week.
Talk to you from New Orleans next week.
All right. See you, Dick.
Okay. Take care.
Dick Powell, everybody. And you're back again here at Tampa.
Where 1 year ago we met here.
I said to everybody this morning, it's kind of funny, all those years in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky, I would see you maybe at Belmont Stakes. What, 1 year I got to see you from across the
I
the tunnel.
At you.
Yeah, exactly. But you're down here. I see you all the time now.
Plus, we saw each other a week ago.
A week ago Saturday, yeah. I'm going to assume you're going to come spend part of the OBS March.
Yeah, I'll be there for that.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So we got that too.
Yeah,
coming up.
And by the way, Cynthia said to say hi.
Best to her and. I tell you, just absolutely glorious down here. It's going to be a great race day. In terms of the action, it's a typical Wednesday at Tampa. Couple of maiden 16s to start the pick four, and there's an optional claimer. But nice field size. You got 11 by 10 by 8 by 10. Actually, if you want to play the pick five, 10 by 11 by 10 by 8 by 10. We'll see what Seth Merrow's got and. We'll see what Jason's got to say when he swings through. Let's do this. We'll take the top of the hour break. We'll come back. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, is next. And plenty of fun results over the weekend to discuss, without a doubt. And we've also got I'll hand this to you so you can look. You can look at the future wager PPs. For the weekend.
You're so prepared.
Well,
are we online or what?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to take a stable tour here of Anaheim.
After, you mean, what time are you going?
If you want to come after you're done, I told Margo, can we take a look?
At the barn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds fun. I love it.
Maybe then after that we could do some lunch.
Look at this. It's a whole type of situation.
Because I'm going to New York tomorrow.
That's what you said for a few days.
Yeah, so I'm going to miss this weekend. Our friend Barry Spears is coming down.
Is he coming Friday or Saturday?
I think he's doing their show here Saturday.
Yes, yeah. But I got to see. Last time we did Tampa Bay Derby Day, had to do it on the phone. He was on his way here on the Friday. So either way, we also, Acacia Courtney is going to be here, so we'll see if Acacia is going to be available Friday. She may end up being phoned. But we do have Marty. We got Marty McGee.
Where's Marty right now?
I imagine he should be here soon.
Did I tell you I ran into Marty at the bar after the Pegasus?
No, you ran into everybody else. You ran into Al Stahl.
Yeah, Marty was like holding forth with the group.
Of course he was. Of course he was. Marty and I have convened here regularly, going back quite a few years. I mean, he had his health scare, and he came back, and you're not going to be around. I was going to say tomorrow night, Christina's tomorrow night.
Oh, so.
Is that thing singing? What is it doing?
Can I get this?
Yeah, of course. Of course. We'll just wrap it up. Here, I'll take the... there we go. We'll get you offline. Sid Fernando here with us. Do I have anything? You'll hear... We'll hear more. Maybe Pat McKenna. I do want to get the specifics tomorrow, right about now. 24 hours from now, don't forget. The Belmont Stakes Racing Festival tickets go on sale. So be sure to get in front of that, BelmontStakes.com, or straight through the NYRA website as well. We'll get more specifics on that front. I do have to get the Delta. I never got through the Delta stuff with you, did I? No. I got to do that. Huh? No, I'm sort of musing out loud here, just sort of. We're going to talk about this with you as well, not just the boys. I want to talk about what's going on with Oscar Performance. Very interesting. I had Heathley Bell on Monday. Yeah, back after this. We're live at absolutely glorious Tampa Bay Downs. Little Harrow break here. Actually, they got to be done. Training should be over. nothing better than jockeys jogging on the racetrack. Huh? We're just wrapping up. Here we go. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt. That the greatest of all time was a horse.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing